What a great reminder for us that we are one in Christ. Well, the Son of God has come to us all. It is the privilege for us to recognize that He showed up just a few years ago, and He continues to show up in our lives each and every day. I was given a reminder this week as I was looking at Isaiah 42. In fact, if you have your Bibles and want to turn to me, we are going to be looking at Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9 together. But I was reminded as I started looking at this passage that sometimes we skip forward about 15 to 2,000 years and we forget that it was written for an original audience before we move it forward and we just say it's all Jesus. And it certainly is all Jesus. But when that prophet penned the words for his original audience, he needed to instill in them this idea of hope as well. And it's that same hope that we're looking at today. Out of Isaiah 42, we hear these words. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people from it, and to the spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So this morning, I was hoping we might hear the words of this prophet from old to realize that the Son of Man has indeed come. And first and foremost, there in verse number 6, he says, I have given you as a covenant to the people to be a light to the nations. The Son of God has come so that we could not stay in darkness. Darkness is all around us. Darkness fills our own minds. Darkness can have a way of capturing us and placing us in a direction that we think only leads to destruction. The Son of God has come so that we could have light. And on cue, the light comes on right now. Okay, no, I forgot to tell somebody to do that. But anyway, Jesus has come so that we, in fact, are the light. Not ourselves, but the light shining through us. There are times when it is very dark. There are times when it's hard to see what might be the next steps that need to be taken, either personally or as a family or as a church. And it is in those times that we look to the one that offers light to the nations. I'm so glad that Pastor Rustin Seaman and New Vision have caught this vision. Their goal over the next year is to have 1,000 lights to be distributed to the area over in the Philippines that was devastated by the worst typhoon in the history that we know of at the present time. They said it could be as much as 2 years before some of those islands have even power restored to them. I was a little naive about the Philippines. I did not know there were over 5,000 islands in the Philippines, 5,000 islands in the Philippines. We don't have quite as many islands around here in this neck of the Philippines, but we have a great opportunity to connect and to show light. And not just to the Philippines, but to show light wherever God has placed us. Each of you have been placed on a street. Each of you have been placed in a neighborhood. Each of you have been placed in a residence hall. And it's in those places that we get to bear God's light. Some of you had to go without water this week. That wasn't very fun to do either. Ferguson's, what do you think? No, they don't recommend it. And if you're down in the Kanawha Valley, you don't want to drink any of the water that's down there at the present time. Mom and Dad did find out they were getting their water from a different water system. So after that first initial 2 days of distributing water in Hanley, they realized that they didn't have to be as cautious. But it becomes a huge issue when our regular resources are questioned or challenged in some way. And the prophet of old says, there is one that wants to make an agreement with you. There's a promise that he would like to give you, and that he would be your light in the midst of all circumstances. But he goes on there in verse 7, and he says, not only has he come to be a light to the nations, he's also come to open the eyes that are blind. There are opportunities in each of our life to be blind. There's even a great phrase for that. They call them blind spots. When you're driving, or you're backing up, or somewhere in between, sometimes you don't always see all the surroundings that are with you. I was at Parchment Valley one day when we lived there, and all of our family was gathered in, and we were heading over to one of the conference centers. We were all going to go over to the gymnasium and play basketball together. I had at least 5 full-grown nephews in the back of a truck that I was borrowing from my youth pastor, and Caleb was in the back of the truck. We were ready to go and have a great time together. So I hop in the driver's seat, and I shift that thing down in reverse, and I didn't want to go all the way to the end of my driveway. I knew I had a full yard that I could turn the truck in, and so I just started to turn and go so I could get around in the yard, and I heard this nasty sound. You ever heard that sound before? It's the crunch of metal against metal. And all of my nephews in the back were like, they really tried to say something, but I did it way, way too quick. I'd like to say it was a blind spot, but when you're learning to drive, it's always nice to look and see what's behind you when you drive. Is that one of the lessons in driving along the way? Yeah, I was totally blind, and of course, I hit my mother-in-law's van with my youth pastor's truck. It was a great combination. And we live to tell about that. There are times in our life when we are blinded. Whether we're blinded by our own inability to see, or whether we're blinded because we just don't have everything figured out. The prophet was saying, there is one that will come that will aid us in our not being able to see. There will be one that will be able to illuminate things in such a way that we have a better perspective. I'm so very glad that God's perspective is not my perspective. My perspective becomes very limited. Now, I really believe I have the right answer until I ask somebody else. And then they're very quick to tell me, you're all the way off. You're not even close. And in the midst of that, my eyes open and I see a bigger view. And usually it's somewhere in the middle that we end up seeing clearer, in better focus, what it is that God has in store for us. This one that was to come, this one that has come, offers light and sight. But he also does more than that. He also has come to bring out the prisoners from their dungeon. From the prison, those who sit in darkness. Not only can we have blind spots, but sometimes we can literally be chained to either our own misconceptions, our own ideas, our own experiences. Jesus has come to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. So, well, I'm not in a dungeon. I'm a free person. I can do as I choose. But there are very many times in our lives where we build walls around ourselves. We limit ourselves by the choices that we make. We limit ourselves by the habits that we continue to practice. We limit ourselves by not being ready to see what God has in store for us next. And sometimes the darkness becomes so familiar that it is hard then to adjust to the light. Dorian has given us a great opportunity this morning. He was challenged in Sunday school to write his own song. And so, do you have that still? Where's that? Can I see it? I tried to pick a picture of it, but I can't read my own picture. It's really, really cool. What they asked them to do was to be their own songwriter. To celebrate the truth that Jesus knows and cares for us, and he was to use the space below to rewrite lyrics to a popular song to include the truth of today's lesson or write his own song. And so Dorian says, this ought to be the title of the new song. The title is, Be the Song of the World. Oh, oh. Christ Jesus died for us. Stand before God. He loves me. I praise Him. He loves me. You are rich in love. I love you. Love, Dorian. It's going to be on the charts. I have no doubt in my mind. At least the essence that there is an orchestration going on in our world that we just need to get in tune with. His name is Jesus. And He's called us here for a plan and a purpose. And we may find ourselves in the camp of John the Baptist. That was that passage I read out of Matthew today. It was him hearing for the first time that it truly was the Son of God that he was in connection with. But you see a hesitation in John. He was in this place where he says, well, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? John's question really is about himself. Is he good enough to baptize Jesus? And many of us may have a similar question. Are we good enough to be baptized or to be connected to God? We all sin. We all fall short. We all want to follow Jesus. But we also do things that aren't in line with Christ's call. But Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to John and he says, "Let it be so now. Jesus consents to baptize Jesus. So we must consent that God loves us despite our faults and shortcomings. God forgives, and yes, we are good enough for God because we are made in God's image, and at our creation, God called us good, and it is through what His Son has done for us that we have the privilege of choosing to follow Jesus. We accept that God loves us as we are, with our faults and with our foibles and all the goodness of creation where we find ourselves. And so, in fact, the Son of God continues to offer that same hope even today. He offers light. He offers sight. He even offers freedom from the dungeons we put ourselves in, or from the dungeons that our experiences have placed us through. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning we were created in God's image. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Male and female, God created us and God blessed us. All things came into being through Christ, and without Christ, not one thing has come into being. God saw everything God had made, and it was very good. What has come into being in Christ was life, and the life was the light of all people. We are created in God's image. We are created to be good. We are created to be loved. We are God's light in this world. So, this morning, may we understand that we have hope in Jesus Christ. A hope that we are loved, that we are valued, that we are worthy. The world tells us we are not, that our sins and shortcomings define us, but Jesus tells us that we are children of God. Jesus calls us to repent and turn back to God, but also that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to love ourselves because God loves us. God chooses us again and again and again. We are made in His image. We are made for good works, which God chose before to be our way of life. Go forth in His name. Be that example in the world He has placed us in. This Son of God is, in fact, the one true living God. His Spirit dwells in us as we go forward in His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. You are God's beloved child. With you, God is well pleased. You are forgiven. You are restored. You are given new life today and every day. Our prayer is that we would go and live with this news, to share His light, His vision, His freedom, and to share it with those that He places in our path. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.